Welcome to In Your Corner, a program designed with you in mind. The Christian life is a fight, and we want you to know that we're in your corner. God the Father loved you so much that he gave his only begotten Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to die for you, and has given his Holy Spirit to guide you and keep you, and has given you people like myself in the body of Christ to help shepherd you along. Yes, we're in your corner. And the Bible says, if God be for us, then who then can be against us? We are here to help you get your day started with song, scripture, and prayer. Because we're going to beat the devil, we got to get filled with the Spirit of God. Then we got to get dressed up with the Word of God. Then we got to get prayed up with all prayer and supplication with thanksgiving to Almighty God. Yes, we're in your corner. So go wake up your brother. Go wake up your sister. Go wake up your mommy. Go wake up your daddy. Go wake up your niece. Go wake up your nephew. Go wake up your grandmama and your granddaddy. Wake them all up. Let them know that In Your Corner is on the air. Now go wake them up now. Go wake them up. We're beaming the love of God from the Dallas-Fort Worth area throughout the known world. Go wake them up, y'all. Go wake them up. Get them out the bed, sleepy head. I know what I need to go do. Let me just go get my roosters. Let me go get my roosters, because y'all not going to wake up without the roosters. I got to go get my roosters to wake y'all up. Now listen, go put this, go put the radio, go put the computer, go put the smartphone, whatever you listening. See, when Red come in there, Red going to get you out the bed and put it close to them so they can hear Red crowing here. That's Red. See, Red is really crowing now. All right. Thank y'all, Roosters. Thank y'all so much. Let me go get an old song here. This is a song called That's Enough. Dorothy Love Coates.
There's always somebody talking about me, but really I don't mind. They try to block and stop my progress. Most of the time, the mean things you said don't make me feel bad, and I can't miss a friend that I've never had. I've got Jesus, I got Jesus,
and that's enough.
Oh, no. Sick,
he's there.
In trouble,
he's there.
When I call him, he'll
answer my prayer.
Sunrise,
he'll
roll up.
He's there.
And when Jesus is a comforter to my soul, you can discount me, turn your back on me. He's got his arm wrapped all around me. I got Jesus,
and that's enough.
Oh, no. You know, there's been so many times when I did have a doubt. Didn't tell nobody but the Lord. He heard my plea and came to see about me. He's my all in all, child. When you push me down, Jesus picks me up and he sticks by me when the going get tough.
See,
I got Jesus,
and that's enough.
Hold up. We're talking about a great emancipator and a heartbreaker leader.
Jesus,
oh, yes.
Jesus,
he'll make my way brighter. Sends me help.
They
don't leave me to fight battle by myself. Takes care of my enemies when they try to get tough.
And that's enough.
He had.
Oh,
God freed me.
That's enough.
He saved me.
That's enough.
God brought me.
That's enough.
And he taught me.
That's enough.
He's my shepherd.
That's enough.
He's my God.
That's enough.
I can feel him walking.
That's enough.
By my side.
That's enough.
I got Jesus.
Jesus.
And that's enough.
Jesus.
I got Jesus.
Jesus.
And that's enough.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, that's Dorothy Love Coates saying, I got Jesus, and that's enough. You know what she said? I can't miss a friend that I never had, huh? All right, I got Jesus, and that's enough. God taught me, God brought me. Amen. You got Jesus. Listen, don't worry about folks. If you got Jesus, that'll be enough. That'll be enough. All right. All right. That's your song for today. That's your song for today. Time to read the Bible. Time to read the Bible. Go get your Bible. We'll be reading out of the book of Luke this morning. Luke chapter 8 and Luke chapter 9. That's Luke chapter 8 and Luke chapter 9. Reading along this morning with the Bible Experience.
Jesus traveled about from one town and village to another, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom of God. The 12 were with him, and also some women who had been cured of evil spirits and diseases. Mary, called Magdalene, from whom 7 demons had come out. Joanna, the wife of Cusa, the manager of Herod's household. Susanna, and many others. These women were helping to support them out of their own means. While a large crowd was gathering and people were coming to Jesus from town after town, he told this parable.
A farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path. It was trampled on, and the birds ate it up. Some fell on rock, and when it came up, the plants withered because they had no moisture. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up with it and choked the plants. Still, other seed fell on good soil. It came up and yielded a crop, 100 times more than was sown.
When he said this, he called out,
"Whoever has ears to hear, let them hear."
His disciples asked him what this parable meant. He said,
"The knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of God has been given to you, but to others, I speak in parables so that, though seeing, they may not see, though hearing, they may not understand." This is the meaning of the parable. The seed is the word of God. Those along the path are the ones who hear. And then the devil comes and takes away the word from their hearts so that they may not believe and be saved. Those on the rock are the ones who receive the word with joy when they hear it, but they have no root. They believe for a while, but in the time of testing, they fall away. The seed that fell among thorns stands for those who hear, but as they go on their way, they are choked by life's worries, riches, and pleasures, and they do not mature. But the seed on good soil stands for those with a noble and good heart who hear the word, retain it, and by persevering, produce a crop. No one lights a lamp and hides it in a clay jar or puts it under a bed. Instead, they put it on a stand so that those who come in can see the light. For there is nothing hidden that will not be disclosed, and nothing concealed that will not be known or brought out into the open. Therefore, consider carefully how you listen. Those who have will be given more. As for those who do not have, even what they think they have will be taken from them.
Now Jesus' mother and brothers came to see him, but they were not able to get near him because of the crowd. Someone told him,
"Rabbi, your mother and brothers are standing outside wanting to see you."
"My mother and brothers are those who hear God's word and put it into practice."
One day Jesus said to his disciples,
"Let us go over to the other side of the lake."
So they got into a boat and set out. As they sailed, he fell asleep. A squall came down on the lake, so that the boat was being swamped, and they were in great danger. The disciples went and woke him, saying,
"Master, Master, we're going to drown!"
He got up and rebuked the wind and the raging waters.
"Be still."
The storm subsided, and all was calm.
"Where is your faith?"
In fear and amazement, they asked one another,
"Who is this? He commands even the winds and the water, and they obey him."
They sailed to the region of the Gerasenes, which is across the lake from Galilee. When Jesus stepped ashore, he was met by a demon-possessed man from the town. For a long time, this man had not worn clothes or lived in a house, but had lived in the tombs. When he saw Jesus, he cried out and fell at his feet, shouting at the top of his voice,
"What do you want with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I beg you, don't torture me."
For Jesus had commanded the evil spirit to come out of the man. Many times it had seized him, and though he was chained hand and foot and kept under guard, he had broken his chains and had been driven by the demon into solitary places. Jesus asked him,
"What is your name?"
He replied, because many demons had gone into him, and they begged Jesus repeatedly not to order them to go into the abyss. A large herd of pigs was feeding there on the hillside. The demons begged Jesus to let them go into the pigs, and he gave them permission. When the demons came out of the man, they went into the pigs, and the herd rushed down the steep bank into the lake and was drowned. When those tending the pigs saw what had happened, they ran off and reported this in the town and countryside, and the people went out to see what had happened. When they came to Jesus, they found the man from whom the demons had gone out sitting at Jesus' feet, dressed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. Those who had seen it told the people how the demon-possessed man had been cured. Then all the people of the region of the Gerasenes asked Jesus to leave them because they were overcome with fear. So he got into the boat and left. The man from whom the demons had gone out begged to go with him.
"Master, take me with you."
But Jesus sent him away, saying,
"Return home and tell how much God has done for you."
So the man went away and told all over town how much Jesus had done for him. Now when Jesus returned, a crowd welcomed him, for they were all expecting him. Then a man named Jairus, a synagogue leader, came and fell at Jesus' feet, pleading with him to come to his house because his only daughter, a girl of about 12, was dying. As Jesus was on his way, the crowds almost crushed him.
"Please."
And a woman was there who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years, but no one could heal her. And she came up behind him and touched the edge of his cloak. And immediately, her bleeding stopped.
"Touched me?"
Jesus asked. When they all denied it, Peter said,
"Master, the people are crowding and pressing against you."
But Jesus said,
"Someone touched me. I know that power has gone out from me."
Then the woman, seeing that she could not go unnoticed, came trembling and fell at his feet. In the presence of all the people, she told why she had touched him and how she had been instantly healed. Then he said to her,
"Daughter, your faith has healed you.
Thank you.
Go in peace." While Jesus was still speaking, someone came from the house of Jairus, the synagogue leader.
"Your daughter is dead.
No.
Don't bother the teacher anymore."
No.
Hearing this, Jesus said to Jairus,
"Don't afraid, just believe and she will be healed."
When he arrived at the house of Jairus, he did not let anyone go in with him except Peter, John, and James, and the child's father and mother. Meanwhile, all the people were wailing and mourning for her.
"Stop wailing,"
Jesus said.
"She is not dead.
Not dead.
But asleep."
They laughed at him, knowing that she was dead. But he took her by the hand and said,
"My child, get up."
Her spirit returned, and at once she stood up. Then Jesus told them to give her something to eat. Her parents were astonished, but he ordered them not to tell anyone what had happened. When Jesus had called the 12 together, he gave them power and authority to drive out all demons and to cure diseases. And he sent them out to proclaim the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. He told them,
Take nothing for the journey. No staff, no bag, no bread, no money, no extra shirt. Whatever house you enter, stay there until you leave that town.
Yes, Rabbi.
If people do not welcome you, shake the dust off your feet when you leave their town as a testimony against them.
Yes, Master.
So they set out and went from village to village, proclaiming the good news and healing people everywhere. Now Herod the Tetrarch heard about all that was going on, and he was perplexed because some were saying that John had been raised from the dead, others that Elijah had appeared, and still others that one of the prophets of long ago had come back to life. But Herod said,
I beheaded John. Who then is this I hear such things about?
And he tried to see him. When the apostles returned, they reported to Jesus what they had done. Then he took them with him, and they withdrew by themselves to a town called Bethsaida. But the crowds learned about it and followed him. He welcomed them and spoke to them about the kingdom of God and healed those who needed healing. Late in the afternoon, the 12 came to him and said,
Send the crowd away so they can go to the surrounding villages and countryside and find food and lodging, because we are in a remote place here.
He replied,
You give them something to eat.
They answered, We have only 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish.
Unless we go and buy food for all this crowd.
About 5,000 men were there. But he said to his disciples,
Have them sit down in groups of about 50 each.
The disciples did so, and everyone sat down. Taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, and looking up to heaven, he gave thanks and broke them. Then he gave them to the disciples to set before the people. They all ate and were satisfied. And the disciples picked up 12 basketfuls of broken pieces that were left over. Once when Jesus was praying in private and his disciples were with him, he asked them,
Who do the crowds say I am?
They replied,
Some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and still others that one of the prophets of long ago has come back to life.
But what about you?
He asked,
Who do you say I am?
Peter answered,
God's Messiah.
Jesus strictly warned them not to tell this to anyone, and he said,
The Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders, the chief priests, and the teachers of the law. And he must be killed. And on the third day, be raised to life.
Then he said to them all,
Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross daily and follow me. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it, but whoever loses their life for me will save it. What good is it for you to gain the whole world and yet lose or forfeit your very self? If any of you are ashamed of me and my words, the Son of Man will be ashamed of you when he comes in his glory and in the glory of the Father and of the holy angels. Truly I tell you, some who are standing here will not taste death before they see the kingdom of God.
About 8 days after Jesus said this, he took Peter, John, and James with him and went up unto a mountain to pray. As he was praying, the appearance of his face changed, and his clothes became as bright as a flash of lightning. 2 men, Moses and Elijah, appeared in glorious splendor, talking with Jesus. They spoke about his departure, which he was about to bring to fulfillment at Jerusalem. Peter and his companions were very sleepy, but when they became fully awake, they saw his glory and the 2 men standing with him. As the men were leaving Jesus, Peter said to him,
Master, it is good for us to be here. Let us put up 3 shelters, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah.
He did not know what he was saying. While he was speaking, a cloud appeared and covered them, and they were afraid as they entered the cloud. A voice came from the cloud saying,
This is my son, whom I have chosen. Listen to him.
When the voice had spoken, they found that Jesus was alone. the disciples kept this to themselves and did not tell anyone at that time what they had seen. The next day, when they came down from the mountain, a large crowd met him. A man in the crowd called out,
"Teacher, I beg you to look at my son, for he is my only child. A spirit seizes him, and he suddenly screams. It throws him into convulsions, so that he foams at the mouth. It scarcely ever leaves him, and is destroying him. I beg your disciples to drive it out, but they could not."
"Unbelieving and perverse generation," Jesus replied, "how long shall I stay with you and put up with you? Bring your son here."
Even while the boy was coming, the demon threw him to the ground in a convulsion. But Jesus rebuked the evil spirit, healed the boy, and gave him back to his father. And they were all amazed at the greatness of God.
Can you believe?
While everyone was marveling at all that Jesus did, he said to his disciples,
"Listen carefully to what I am about to tell you. The Son of Man is going to be delivered over to human hands."
What? But they did not understand what this meant.
Peter, what does he mean?
It was hidden from them, so that they did not grasp it. And they were afraid to ask him about it.
I want to be with you.
An argument started among the disciples as to which one of them would be the greatest. Jesus, knowing their thoughts, took a little child and had him stand beside him. Then he said to them,
"Whoever welcomes this little child in my name welcomes me. And whoever welcomes me welcomes the one who sent me. For whoever is least among you all is the greatest."
"Master,"
said John,
"we saw someone driving out demons in your name, and we tried to stop him because he is not one of us."
"Do not stop him,"
Jesus said,
"for whoever is not against you is for you."
As the time approached for him to be taken up to heaven, Jesus resolutely set out for Jerusalem. And he sent messengers on ahead, who went into a Samaritan village to get things ready for him. But the people there did not welcome him, because he was heading for Jerusalem. When the disciples James and John saw this, they asked,
"Lord, do you want us to call fire down from heaven to destroy them?"
But Jesus turned and rebuked them. Then he and his disciples went to another village. As they were walking along the road, a man said to him,
"I will follow you wherever you go."
Jesus replied,
"Foxes have holes and birds have nests, but the Son of Man has no place to lay his head."
He said to another man,
"Follow me."
"Lord, first let me go and bury my father."
Jesus said to him,
"Let the dead bury their own dead, but you go and proclaim the kingdom of God."
Still another said,
"I will follow you, Lord, but first let me go back and say goodbye to my family."
"No one who puts a hand to the plow and looks back is fit for service in the kingdom of God."
All right, that's our scripture for the day. We read out of the book of Luke, Luke chapter 8 and Luke chapter 9. May God bless those who have read and who heard his holy word. It's prayer time now, y'all. Come on, y'all. Let's come to the altar this morning and let's pray. Let's make our family circle. Come on, family. A family that prays together is a family that would stay together. Come on, y'all. Come on, y'all. Let's pray. Put your hands together. Come on. Let's pray. You're going to pray with me? You're going to pray with me? Come on. Heavenly Father, we thank you and we praise you this morning for giving us another day as well as another week. Dear God, you have brought us all the way from Monday to Friday. We come now to the close of another week and we give you all the praises and glory because you was the one that brought us to the close of this week, dear God. And we just thank you. We thank you, dear God, for what I've seen this week, our ears have heard this week. Lord, now we pray for our churches as we get ready to go into Sunday morning. Lord, we pray for Saturday preparation. We pray for the cleaning of the building, the upkeep of the building, whatever needs to be done, dear God, to get the church house ready. Lord, we pray that you'll get it done and make sure things are done, Lord, decently in order. So, Lord, we know, dear God, that you're going to touch the hearts and minds of those cleaning crews, dear God. And Lord, we pray for the choirs and the usher boards and greeter ministry, all of those that's going to be making preparation. And then, Lord, we pray that you'll help all of us to be on our post on Sunday morning. Touch every heart, touch every mind of every Christian, dear God, and bring them to their local church on Sunday morning. For Lord, I just believe that God's children need to be in the house of God on Sunday morning. Lord, we pray for the parking lot crew, dear God. We pray, dear God, for the greeters ministry and the ushers ministry. Lord, we pray for the deacon ministry, dear God, the trustee ministry. Lord, we pray for the finances of the church. Lord, we even pray for the choirs, that they'll do their job in such a way it's going to bring honor and glory to your name. Help them to truly sing new songs and songs of Zion, dear God. You said in your word to sing unto the Lord a new song. You said even make a joyful noise unto the Lord. Lord, we pray that we would indeed make a joyful noise. And Lord, we pray that you'll just save the lost and encourage the saved and rescue backsliders. Bring that prodigal son, that prodigal daughter, bring that prodigal husband, that wife back to church on Sunday morning in a mighty, mighty way. Now, Lord, we just thank you. We praise you. Lord, we just commit this day to your care, and we know you're going to bless, because we ask it in Jesus' name, and for its sake we pray. Amen. All right, that's it, ladies and gentlemen. That's it, that's it, that's it, that's it. We done sung our song, we done had our prayer, we done had our scriptures this morning. Clock on the wall is saying that's all for this portion of In Your Corner. Oh, thank you so kindly for waking up this morning and joining us on In Your Corner. Now, let me encourage you also to stay with us on the weekend. We play the best of In Your Corner on the weekend, so tell your neighbor and friends about us on the weekend, because we play the best of In Your Corner on the weekend, same time, same station here. Then let me encourage you now to stay with us the rest of the day. Remember, our format here at KLITB is at the top of the hour, we minister in the Word, and at the bottom of the hour, we minister in the mix. That's music and a whole lot more. Matter of fact, I'm getting ready now to get that early morning sermon on for you. So listen and stay tuned for that. At 7 o'clock, I'll be back again with Ghostbusters, because we got some strange things happening in the neighborhood and somebody needs to say something about it. Then at 8 o'clock, I'll be back again in the Situation Room. Then at 9 o'clock, we'll take a look in the book. Let you listen to a portion of a sermon that I preach right here at Bible Way Community Baptist Church, a wonderful church right here in Irving, Texas. If you're ever in the Dallas-Fort Worth area, please stop by and worship the Lord with us right here at Bible Way Community Baptist Church. Then at 10 o'clock, that's time for a program called Unshackle. It's a radio drama. Live life, people. It make you face yourself and think. Then at 11 o'clock, we'll take a deeper look in the book. And then at 12 o'clock, if you missed any of these programs, guess what? We begin to rebroadcast then. So listen to us all day long. Tell a friend, tell a neighbor, tell a co-worker about us, because we are in your corner.